Well, what a great ministry. It's so good to know that there are Christians showing the love of Christ to children that have gone through horrendous difficulties. And it's exciting that Randy and Carla are there. But you know what also is exciting? As we give, we are part of that ministry. And that Randy and Carla, it's actually an extension of our hands. Because the church is one. And God's called them to be there, and they're being faithful. And if we're faithful to connect with them and support them, then God's work's going to continue. So good to have them with us today. We normally take our offering for the Home of the Good Shepherd at Christmas time. And they're not usually here, but it was so good as they were here. We said, well, we're going to have them come, share, and we'll receive the offering now. So you be sure to do that. You can also at the terminal, other places, just designate an offering for Home of the Good Shepherd. All right, I am excited about this message this morning because I believe it's going to set some people free. This message can be life-changing. I say can because we need to receive it, digest it, and apply it. But this word this morning is going to help some people. It's relatively new thoughts to me. I was telling the folks in the office, this is like a new message. Now, the parts of it are not new. I probably have shared on every aspect of it, but I've just never put it together in the way I want to share with you this morning. That you've received a handout as you came in. You can fill in the sheet with us as we go forward this morning. So let's launch right into this. I've entitled our message this morning, The Freeing Power of the Present. The Freeing Power of the Present. Now, here's your first fill-in. God lives in the present. God lives in the present. God is outside of time. He's not bound by the past. God doesn't live in a chronological, that happened, then this happened, then this happened. God is outside of time, and so when he interacts with us, he interacts with us in the present. God is in the present. Now, he even portrays this to his people when Moses was being called of the Lord to deliver Israel out of Egypt. And he introduces himself to Moses out of the burning bush. This is what he says in Exodus 3 and verse 6. He said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. He said, I am the Father. He didn't say, I was the Father. All of these people had passed off the scene. They were dead. They were gone. But God doesn't see them as gone. He sees them ever. God lives in an eternal now. He lives in a forever now. He is in the present. And so when he is talking about Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, it's present. I am the God. And then when Moses said, well, if I go to Pharaoh, who will I say sent me? And the Lord answers in Exodus 3 and verse 14. Thus you shall say to the children of Israel, I am has sent me to you. Well, what in the world does that mean? I am have sent me, or sent me to you. God identifies himself to Moses as an ever-present being. I am. I am. I never thought about it just in this context. Why would he say, I am? And I think it speaks to this fact. God is not someone that met us in the past and so we can't see him today. He will meet us in the future. No, he says, I am. Wherever you are, right now, today, in your present situation, God is there. He is an I am God. He is there right in your present. And he is not bound. He is freed from the past and the future. He said, I am the same yesterday, today, and forever. Well, why is he the same? Because he is right now. He's a forever now. He's unchangeable. Why is he not changeable? Because there's not a tomorrow to God. He is always the same because he always is just who he is. God is living in the present. It sounds like bad grammar, but it is exactly what God is trying to portray to his people. Now, walk with me through this, folks. Here's your next fill-in. To experience God's freeing power, we need to live in the present. Live in the present. Don't live in the past. Don't live in the future. Live in the present. He is free of the past, and he's free of the future because he's forever now. And if you're going to be free, folks, of everything that's happened in your past, and you're going to be free of everything that's going to happen in our future because we're creatures of time. If you're going to experience that freedom from the past and the future, then you have to live in the present and know that God's going to meet you right in the present today. Now, this is not just something that's by the way and we're trying to perhaps, you know, extrapolate from Scripture. No, I mean, these are very powerful teachings. Here's your next fill-in. God tells us to forget yesterday. He admonishes us. He tells us, forget yesterday. This is what it says in Philippians 3:13. I am still not all I should be. And I think we'd all sort of agree with that. Are you what you should be? Are you where you want to be? We're not where we're wanting to be. And so Paul says, I'm not where I should be. But he tells us what he's doing. He says, but I am bringing all my energies to bear on this one thing. Now, that's quite a statement. Paul says, I'm taking all my energy, everything to bear, everything within me. I'm focusing it on one thing. And he says, that one thing is forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead. So he's forgetting the past. He had quite a past. He was a Pharisee. He persecuted the church. He had actually seen Christians die as a result of his efforts. And he could have lived in this quagmire of regret. But Paul says, I'm doing one thing. I haven't arrived yet, but I'm bearing on one thing. I'm going to forget the past. Now, folks, if God doesn't live in the past, and if Paul says, I'm not going to live in the past, why do we live in our past? If you're going to be free, I mean really free, you need to forget the past. Well, you say, well, that's hard to do. Yeah, that's why he said he's bearing everything. He's got to put all his energy towards this. This is not a natural thing. Satan is the accuser of the brethren. What will he accuse you of? Your past. If you're going to experience freedom, you have to let the past go. Now, we're going to come around this as we go forward in this. So as he says, don't give any attention to the past. Also, your next fill-in is, God tells us to give no attention to tomorrow. Give no attention to tomorrow. Listen to what it says in Matthew 6:34. I like it in the Message version. He says, give your entire attention to what God is doing right now. And don't get worked up. Do you get worked up? You get worked up thinking about the future? Get worked up thinking what could be, what might happen? If I continue on this course, I'm getting worked up about this. I'm not worked up about today. I'm worked up about tomorrow. Listen to what it says. And don't get worked up about what may or may not happen tomorrow. God will help you deal with whatever hard things come up when the time comes. Well, when will the time come? It comes in the present. God's going to help you in the present. He doesn't help you in tomorrow. He helps you in the present. When you project yourself to tomorrow, you're projecting yourself out of God's presence. Because God isn't in tomorrow, he's in today. He's an I am God. Now, I want to help you today. Some of you don't know whether you need help or not. But I really want to help you. This is a freeing power to live in the present. Now, let's carry on here. Let me just underline this. Jesus says to Abraham, before Abraham was, I am. Again, he should have said, I was. Before Abraham was, I was. No, he said, before Abraham was, I am. Again, he's just lifting himself out of time. And he's putting himself in, I was present with Abraham, I was present with Isaac, I was present with Jacob. I'm present in every situation, in every sphere, I'm outside of time, but I meet people in their present. So here's your next feeling. To experience God's presence, you must live in the present. How many times you say, well, I just don't feel God. And many times you're not feeling God because you're thinking about the past. Or you're thinking about what's going to happen in the future. And you're not experiencing God's presence because you're not in the present. You're either living in the past or you're living in the future. And if you want to experience his presence, his Shekinah glory, the revelation of who he is, you will meet that right in the present. He says to those that are not saved, today is the day of salvation. Today, right now. Don't put it off. It's not tomorrow. Today is the day of salvation. Living in the past or living in the future will only bring bondage. If you're feeling bound, if you're feeling restless, if you're feeling out of control, I don't have control of this, then you're either living in the past or you're living in the future. Because God sets us free today. Now, here's your next fill-in. Living in the past produces if-only thoughts. If-only thoughts. If only that hadn't happened. If only I hadn't gone there. If only he or she hadn't said that. If only I hadn't dropped that. If only I had responded differently. If only I'd held my tongue. If only I hadn't been hurt. If only I hadn't been offended. If only that hadn't happened. Living in the past produces if-only thoughts. Here's your next fill-in. If-only thoughts produce guilt or blame. If it's towards yourself, you feel guilt. I shouldn't have said that. Oh, if I had only controlled myself. Only if I hadn't have done that. Only if I hadn't responded that way. And you feel guilty, especially when you see how it may have hurt other people. And you can feel genuine remorse. And we're going to see in a moment, there's a way out of the past. But if you're living in the past, You might even be forgiven. I've seen people that are forgiven. They're Christians, but they're still living in the, if only I hadn't done that, if only that hadn't have happened. My life is ruined now because only if that person had not done what they did, I would be much better off today. And so now they begin to blame. You either feel guilty for yourself or you project blame to someone else. They're responsible for this. They messed up my life. They kept me from getting the job promotion. They're stealing my happiness. I'd have peace if they would do something differently. If only thoughts, they produce guilt or blame. Now let's switch to the future. Living in the future produces what if thoughts. What if thoughts? What if I fail? What if I'm embarrassed? What if I get sick? What if I get the illness my parents had? What if I lose my job? What if I can't pay my bills? What if it doesn't work out? What if the kids mess up? What if thoughts? They bind you. They bind you up. Here's your next fill-in. What if thoughts produce fear and anxiety? Fear and anxiety. And that's a bondage. To be bound by fear. Jesus constantly came. Angels always said, they're almost the first thing they said, fear not, fear not. We're so locked into what might happen tomorrow, what might happen next, that we're fearful. We don't exercise what we could do because we're fearful of something happening. I'm always surprised when I go to vacation spots and, you know, maybe it's the edge and you go up and you know this thing drops. I remember when I was in India the first time and I went to the edge and they didn't really have anything there. It was years ago. And I went up and I remember, and it was a half mile down. I mean, getting that close, I was just, well, look here. I can walk across here. I have my toes over the edge. I'm not fearful. Because what would happen? Well, the worst thing that happened, I'd mess up a couple of backpacks maybe. But. See, but I tell you, if that was a half mile back, I'd be like this. That's how we are about the future. Fear grips us. Fear comes upon. What if that? What if I fell? What if I went down that half mile? See, the what if brings fear. Now there's no what if. Well, what if, okay, I take a step down, jump down. You see how fear binds us? Anxiety. You can't sleep. You have a sore jaw. I've had people had sore jaws. They've gone to the doctor and they're grinding their teeth. Why are they grinding their teeth? Because they have stress. They don't even know what's happening. Stress causes all kinds of physical ailments in our life because we are living in the future. What if that happened? And it produces fear and anxiety. But I want you to know there is a way out of the past. There is a way out of the future. There is a way. Jesus is a way maker. Jesus is a way maker. Say it with me. Jesus is a way maker. There is a way to get out of your guilt. There's a way to get past your blame. There's a way to get rid of your fear. There's a way to get rid of your anxiety. It's in Jesus. Jesus is a way maker. This is what he said in John 14:6. Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I'm the way. I'm the truth, I'm the reality, and I can give you a full life. I've come to give you an abundant life. It's in Jesus. Now, he gives us the way out of the past. Now, this is your fill, and this is so important, folks. If you're living in the past, you're living in, if only that hadn't happened, if only. Here's the way out. The way out of the past is forgiveness. Would you have expected it? It's forgiveness. It's the way you get out of it. It's the way you get free. Amen. We all know it. We just don't do it. I'm amazed how many Christians say to me, I just can't forgive him. As if it's optional. Listen to what it says in Colossians 3:13. Bearing with one another and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also can do. Say that. So you also may do. You also might do. Be a good thing if you do this. He said, no, you must. You must do it. It's the only way to be free from your past. Now, you can go through all kinds of things, and we think forgiveness is okay. I'm not going to hold it against them. I'm not going to retaliate. I'm not going to say anything. I'll bite my lip. And we think that's forgiveness. No, it's forgetting it, letting it go. I mean, does Jesus sort of look at you and see all your sin and say, oh, I just won't say anything this time about you? You know? No, he sees us forgiven. It says he's removed our sins as far as the east is from the west. We were talking about this a couple of Wednesday nights ago. I don't think they knew exactly how far the east is from the west. It's infinite. Because the earth is a circle. You take a step towards the east is still there. You keep another step, it's still there. It's just infinite. And he's removed our sins as far as the east is from the west. If you're going to forgive as Christ forgave, you just have to let it go. Now here's the beautiful thing. You say, but they're getting off. They should be held accountable. They need to pay. They should be punished. Well, that's why Jesus is the way maker. He did all that. He took the punishment. He took the pain. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ, we sing. And if he's already bought that forgiveness, who am I to hold it against the person? Who am I to say it's not enough? You have to pay. You do this and that, and I'll forgive you. You show some contrition. Let me see you're really trying hard. Is that what Jesus said to us? No. Well, we do that to other people. And we wonder why we're not free. Because we're bound by the past and the things that's happened to us. And your mind goes around and around it. And you're bound by it. You need to get out of the past and live in the present. The way out is to forgive. Let it go. Let it go. Let it go to the Lord. Folks, I am talking to you. I'm looking in the faces of people that you're holding things against other people. And you're struggling under it. And you're miserable because of it. And it's taken away your joy. You have no peace. Why? Because for some reason we're disconnected. We don't see we must forgive. And we don't look to the Lord. And we don't do the things he said. We hold on to it as if I have a right to hold on to this. And we're living in the past and it's controlling us. I want you to see the freeing power of the present. Get out of your past. Let it go. There's only one way out. It's Jesus. And it's not just the thought of forgiveness. It's his forgiveness. I forgive people as Christ forgave them. How could Christ forgive? Because he loved the sinner. He didn't condone the sin. He just loved the sinner more. The person that's hurt you, do you love them more than their sin? No, I don't like them at all. I mean, but you've got to get past that, and you've got to get into the realm of, Lord, let your love flow into my heart. You love that person. You've got a plan for their life. You're distressed. You're grieved because they're not fulfilling your purpose. But you have a plan and purpose. You've already bought their forgiveness. Who am I to withhold the thing you've already purchased? Because I think it's not enough. We got to get out of the past. You need to forgive people. Let's do the next fill-in. What's the way out of the future? The what if thoughts. What's the way out? The way out of the future is hope and faith. Hope and faith. Listen to Psalm 42 and verse 5. Why am I discouraged? Why is my heart so sad? I will put my hope in God. I will praise him. When you're anticipating your future, you need to put your hope in God. And not have your own plans. Say, God, you know what? It's your plans. If you've got your whole life laid out of how you want to see it happen, you're going to be worried all the time. What if that happens? What if that? What if that person messes up? What if I'm not successful? Fear and anxiety comes out of a self-reliance. I'm relying on myself. I'm relying on my ingenuity. I'm relying on my memory. I'm relying on my skills. And you're not able because we all have limitations. But what if you hope in God? What if you have the thought that Paul had in Philippians 4:13? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Now, this is how I interpret that verse. If Christ is in it, you can do it through him. If Christ isn't in it, you can't do it through him because he's not in it. So it's not just, okay, I'll come up with this plan, Christ, you're going to help me. No, you say, Lord, what's your purpose for my life? What's my future? What do you have for me? What's your plans? Christ is in the middle of your future. If Christ is in it, it doesn't matter what it is. You can do it through him. It's a surrender. It's a faith in God, a trust in God, a hope in God, relaxing in God. So it doesn't really matter the challenge. Here's David, the Goliath, the giant, is making all these taunts. Everyone else is what? Fearful, quaking. All of the Israel army is quaking. Only David, who's a young boy, but he's been in the backside of the desert, keeping the sheep, and he's singing psalms to the Lord. And so when he comes and he hears the challenge against the Israeli armies, listen to what David says. I didn't go to the verses, but you can check it. He says, you have not defied the armies of Israel. You've defied the armies of the living God. There's a difference how you see it. He's challenging us. the armies of Israel. David didn't see it that way. No, you're challenging the armies of the living God. There's someone with us. And then when he comes, Goliath starts mocking him. Oh, just a boy coming. Oh, I'm going to feed you. And David says to him, you come to me with a sword and with a spear. He didn't say, but I'm coming to you with a slingshot. No, he didn't say that. He said, I'm coming to you in the name of the Lord. If God is in it, you can do it. You can do all things through Christ. You don't have to be afraid of your future if you put your future in God's hands. And your faith is in him. It's not relying upon yourself. There is a tremendous power when you get out of the future and the what ifs, and you just live in the present. Right here in the present. What does David presently have in his hand? He has a slingshot. What is he able to do? He can throw a stone with a slingshot. Everyone else might mock it, but that's what he has right now. And he uses what he has right now, and a tremendous victory comes because God was with him right then. You don't have to worry if you just live in the present. Live with what you have. Listen, even the Lord's Prayer. Give us this day our daily bread. He said, don't pray for provision for a week, for a month. The double emphasis on daily. Give us this day our daily bread. He wants us just to live in the present, in this present moment. I'm living whatever I have in my hand. I will bless it. My mind goes to a video I watched long ago about George Mueller, who ran an orphanage in England. And he was just resting on God for their provision. And he had made the thing he would never make known his needs. I'm not saying you shouldn't, but that was his thing. And in the movie they made of it, on a true story, they had the children and there, and it was time for breakfast, and they had no food. And he told the maid, he said, set the table. He gathered the children. They said, we have nothing to eat. He said, gather the children around the table. They gathered around the table, and he started to pray. He said, God, we ask your blessing upon the provisions of what you're going to give us this day. And as he's praying, there's a knock on the door. And a baker had been awakened in the night with the words on his heart, bake bread for Mueller. And they brought the bread in. And they broke it to the kids. See, somehow we got to get out of the future and just live in the moment with a faith and trust in God, knowing that he's going to bring the answer. And I would be remiss if I didn't use my verse, my life's verse, Romans 8:28. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God and are called according to his purpose. Do you know it? You don't have to worry about the past. You don't have to worry about the future. Because he's working all things together for your good. If you love God and you want his purpose in your life. Here's your next feeling. Take every thought captive to today. Now, this is where you got to exert your energy. It says in 2 Corinthians 10:5, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. You see, you got to see this. We're made up of body, soul, and spirit. Your body is always in the present. Always. Your body's living in the present. But where's your spirit? Your spirit can be drawn into fear. It can be drawn into anxiety. It can be drawn into guilt. And your thoughts take you there. Your body's in the present, but your thoughts can be in the past or in the future. So you have to bring every thought captive. You got to bring it captive right to the present. Here what it says in Matthew 6:34. Deal with each challenge that comes your way one day at a time. Tomorrow will take care of itself. Just live day by day. Live in the present. Live, and here's your last feeling. Live in the present in the presence of the Lord. Live in the present in the presence of the Lord. The freeing power of the present. I'm praying that people be set free today. And I pray that you'll see the path out of the past, the path out of the future, and just say, here's where my body is, so here's where my thoughts are, here's where my spirit is. Now, your spirit can be one with Christ in heaven, but he's in an eternal now. So our spirit is joined with God's spirit, and his power is being released right into our present situation. And so just relax and rest in God. You can handle anything for a moment, for a day. Why do people get divorced? Not because of today. They project into the future based on the past. The past shows that I can't live this way for the next 10 years. And they get caught in the past and the future. So the only way is a self-demonic thought. Get divorced. Divorce is not an option for a Christian. And any two people that put their trust in God and their hearts soft towards God, living today, can be happy. Trusting God, acting the way you want. We don't act the way we should because we're reacting to the past or anticipating the future, and it's determining our mood. Rather than just living today in the present, just enjoying today, saying right now in this moment, I'm going to do what God wants me to do. Would you stand with me this morning? So many different applications to this word this morning. I wonder how it's applying to you. Where are you living? Lord, I pray that you would just come down by your Holy Spirit, because you're meeting us right now in this present moment. You're bringing revelation. You're bringing inspiration. You're releasing power right now into our lives. I ask, O Lord, that in your presence, there'll come a power to free us. That we can be what you want us to be, live the life you want us to do, fulfill the will you have for us. Help us to bring every thought into captivity, Lord, to the obedience of Christ. Help people that's right here, right now. Free people right now in this simple moment. Bring revelation to their minds, their heart, to their spirit. That they just won't hear it with their ears. They'll hear it with the very ears of their spirit. We want to hear it in the depth of our being. I pray for everyone here in Jesus' name. And if you prayed that prayer, say amen with me. Amen. Amen. If you're visiting with us, we're glad you're here. Be sure to go by the table.